Good evening. I'd like to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you this evening and invite those who may need it to come to the Lord. Before I make my main point, I'd like to kill two birds with one stone and express my gratitude as well as make a precursor point, we'll say. And I do hope the Lord is not against this kind of plagiarism. Amanda and I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have continued your concern for us. You are indeed concerned for us, and you have sought opportunity to care for us. Not that we are speaking of being in need, for we are learning that whatever situation we are in, to be content. We are learning how to be brought low, and we are learning how to abound. In any and every circumstance, we are learning the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, because we know that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. Yet, it is kind of you to share in our troubles. And you, beloved, yourselves know that since we have been with the brothers here, there has been opportunity. Even before Hannah was born, you sent us help for our needs once and again. Not that we seek the gift, but we seek the fruit that increases to your credit. We have received full payment and full stomachs and more. We are well supplied, having received from you all the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And our God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I want to say thank you all for the gifts, for the food, and especially the prayers in regards to Hannah, her arrival, and complications after the fact. Thank you. But with that, who wouldn't want to be able to say that? Who wouldn't want to be able to say that about their life and the people that they know? You have that opportunity. Second point, primary point. The theme tonight is Jesus as our friend and our Savior and King. When asked to give tonight's invitation, my thoughts turned, as it did for Josh, to John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. It reads, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Again, this verse in itself is sufficient for the invitation, but we will expound on it with a few questions. And those being, do you love who you ought to love as you ought to? Can Jesus call you his friend because you obey him? And do you understand he has told us fully how we can obey him? To help answer each, let's read some passages that I found relevant to these points. On love, beginning in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Concerning obedience, James chapter 2, beginning verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend to God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In regards to knowing his will, I have another lengthy passage to read, but it makes its point well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are a folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again, I refer you back to the original passage, John chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So, the question is again, do you love properly? Can Jesus call you his friend? And do you know his will for you? If you do not know his will for you, the beginning things, the first things, are to hear that he came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and died a sacrificial death upon a cross. You can reference Romans 10 and verse 17. Secondly, you must believe what you have heard about him from his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Then you must repent of your sins. Acts chapter 17, verses 29 through 31. And you must confess him as Lord. Romans 10 and verse 9. You must also be baptized into his death and his burial and his resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. These are the first things. It is not all of it, but it is the first. If you have obeyed the gospel call, but have fallen short in obedience to him in some manner, we ask that you please correct that in your life and be his friend. He has been yours. If you need us to pray with you and with you, we will gladly do that. But either way, please come and let your needs be known to us as we stand and as we sing.